I'm Dwight Cooper, Mr. Reeves. And this is Miss Prentice.
How do you do, Miss Prentice? John Prentice's daughter, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, what is it, Mr. Cooper? I'm in a bit of a hurry. I'm going away on a trip this afternoon.
I'll be very brief. We've heard that you and Mr. Prentice had some sort of a disagreement with each other a few days ago.
Yes? Who told you that?
Mr. Prentice is quite ill, Mr. Reeves, and we think it's a result of that quarrel. If we could find out something about it, we might be able to straighten him out.
Well, John knows all about it.
He won't talk about it, Mr. Reeves.
He won't, eh? Well, John shouldn't let a thing like that get him down. Business is business, you know. He wanted me to renew a loan, and I refused to do it.
So that was it.
In his particular business, well, I don't know what the future will be with all this rationing and priorities.
Had you promised to renew the loan?
Well, as a matter of fact, I had. But I changed my mind, which is my privilege. John wanted me to wait a few days. Said he was trying to borrow some money from the state mutual. But I didn't think it was good business to wait, so I called the loan.
Oh, I see. I imagine that made him pretty angry.
Did it? You'll pardon me, Miss Prentice, for talking so frankly about your father, but really, I never heard a man get so abusive in my life. Why, he actually threatened me.
Yes?
He acted like a schoolboy. Said he'd get revenge.
Do you think he will get revenge?
Oh, no, no, I...
Oh, yes. You're afraid of him, aren't you? You'd like to arrange things so he couldn't possibly get revenge, wouldn't you, Mr. Reeves?
Did you threaten him?
Say, what are you getting at?
I think you know what we're getting at.
I do not. Now, see here. I've told you all I'm going to tell you, so now I'll ask you both to leave.
Surely. You've told us quite enough, Mr. Reeves.
Dwight, hadn't we better go to the police station and tell Captain Arnold?
No, darling, not yet. But I'm sure Reeves is the one who's hired that thug to kill your father.
So am I.
He said he was going on a trip. He wants to be out of the way when it happens, so he won't be suspected.
Of course. Then why shouldn't we have him arrested?
I'd like to get more evidence first. I want to find out more about that loan. Who do you think could tell me?
Well, Mr. McAdams ought to be able to tell you. He's the treasurer of Daddy's firm.
All right, I'll go see him. Look, honey, suppose you take a taxi and go on home. See how things are getting along.
Oh, Dwight, I...
Please, honey, I may have to do some running around. Look, don't tell your father about this.
Oh, no. All right, Dwight. But don't be gone too long.
I won't tell him.
But Dwight has been gone much too long to suit Eva. It is now 11:30 at night. Eva and her mother have become increasingly nervous as the clock ticks off the seconds, bringing the time closer and closer to midnight, John's last moment on Earth.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Dwight, where have you been?
We've been worried to death.
Well, one thing led to another. McAdams had gone out in the country, but I finally caught up with him.
Have you told the police about Mr. Reeves?
No, I haven't. Where's Mr. Prentice?
In the library.
Oh, he's in a terrible state of mind, Dwight. He's got the door locked. He told the policeman to stand outside his window.
Listen, someone at the door.
Oh, my heavens. Oh, why didn't that police...
Now, don't get panicky.
I'll see who it is.
Open the wicket.
It's a messenger boy.
It might be a trick.
It looks all right. Telegram for Mr. Prentice. All right, I'll take it.
Signed here.
There you are. Here.
Oh, thanks, mister.
I wonder who'd be...
Mrs. Prentice, have I your permission to open this message? For certain reasons, I'd like to see who it's from.
Why, yes, Dwight. Go ahead.
What is it, Dwight?
It's important. Very important. I've got to show it to your father right away. Mr. Prentice, open up. It's Dwight. Mr. Prentice.
It's all right, Daddy. Unlock the door. Dwight's got a telegram for you.
Hmm. Why doesn't he answer? Well, go outside and look through the window. The officer's out there. Come on. Where is that officer, Eva? I don't see him.
I don't know, Dwight. Daddy told him to stay right here by the window.
Eva, look. The window's wide open.
Why?
What's that?
Oh, my heavens. There's the policeman on the ground. Something's happened to him. He's hurt.
Officer. Officer. He's coming around. What happened?
I seen a car drive up in the alley. Oh. A light-colored sedan. And just as I started to investigate. Somebody slugs me in the back of the head. That's all I remember.
And they've got him. They've got Daddy.
Darling, I'm going after that sedan.
How do you know where it went?
I'll find it. I'll drive to the Tower Street Bridge.
I'm going with you.
No, you stay here, Eva.
And why does Dwight think he'll find the light-colored sedan at the Tower Street Bridge? Is it because Mr. Prentice saw that bridge in his dream? Or is there another reason? A reason known only to Dwight? But Eva can't wait, and so a moment later, another car speeds toward the bridge. The policeman's car. The officer is at the wheel, and Eva and Clara are by his side.
Oh, officer, can't you go faster?
I'm driving as fast as I can, Miss Prentice. Say, I'd better put in a radio call to headquarters and have them send a squad car to the other side of that bridge. No telling what we'll run into there.
There's the bridge right ahead, officer. And there's the clock.
What clock?
The one Daddy saw in his dream. And look, it's midnight.
I don't know nothing about the dream, Miss Prentice. All
I see a car out on the bridge. You see it?
That's the baby. That's the one I saw at the house.
Where's Dwight's car? Dwight's car isn't there.
He must have got lost. Say, we'd better watch our step. The squad car ain't come to the other end yet.
Oh, hurry, officer.
Now, don't you get out of the car. You stay here. I'll see what's going on.
Yes, but hurry.
All right, Miss Prentice. You and your mother can come here.
Is Daddy there?
There ain't a soul here. The car's deserted.
Oh, there'll be two ladies. He's already done it.
Who's done what?
Oh, can't you remember anything? I told you about Daddy's dream. I'm talking about that man. He's thrown Daddy in the water.
Oh.
Isn't there something we can do?
Oh, it couldn't have happened very long ago.
If your father's been thrown in the river, Miss Prentice, he's a goner, but now...
Don't.
Nobody could swim in that current.
Oh, poor Daddy.
What I can't figure out is why the guy left the car here.
Oh, poor John.
Hey, look. There's some rope in the back of the car. And a knife.
He tied Daddy's hand.
Hey, here comes the squad car now. They're coming in from the other end of the bridge.
Oh, officer. Who's this car registered to?
Wait a minute. Well, by golly, there's no registration slip in it.
I know who it belongs to. Milton Reeves.
I'll take the number and we'll check on it later.
What's up, Jack?
It looks like there's some dirty work been going on here.
Yeah? Well, maybe this guy knows something about it.
Quit shoving me, will you?
Where'd you pick him up?
He was running away from the bridge.
Oh, he was, huh? All right, buddy. What do you know about this sedan?
Not a thing. I wasn't on the bridge.
Well, that's him. That's the man who threatened Daddy over the phone. I can tell by his voice.
Well, now we're getting someplace. All right, you. Give. Where's Mr. Prentice?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You threw him into the river, didn't you?
No.
You're a liar. Come on, talk.
I don't know nothing.
We'll get you to talk at headquarters.
A few minutes later, the river's being dragged for Prentice's body. But what has become of Dwight? He hasn't been seen since he drove away toward the bridge. The two heartbroken women return home to wait for the sad news. They step into the house. Mrs. Prentice breaks into a sob.
Oh, come, Mother. You must try to get hold of yourself. We must try to be brave.
Oh, I know, dear. I know. What has become of Dwight?
Oh, I don't know what on earth could have happened to him.
Eva, darling.
Dwight, what are you doing there in the library? We thought you'd run out on us.
Well, I haven't been here long.
Oh, Dwight, it's terrible. I never dreamed such a thing was going to happen.
No, just be patient, darling. I'll tell you everything. I told you I finally saw McAdams.
Yes?
Well, the story about the loan was a lot worse than we thought. I found that Reeves had a grudge against your father. So he planned to ruin him and get everything he had. And he did just that, by refusing to renew and calling the loan. He did it deliberately. He worked in a backhanded manner and wrecked the business. He held the paper on everything your father owned.
Father's broke?
Yes. Reeves broke your father. Absolutely penniless. Reeves has the business, this house, everything. He pulled it so fast that your father hadn't a chance to get on his feet. When I found that out, I suspected the truth, but I wasn't sure till I got to that bridge.
The truth?
Then you did go to the bridge.
I did. and I got there just in time to prevent the tragedy. I pulled your father into my car by force, and turned around on the bridge, and came back here.
What are you saying? He isn't dead.
No, he's here, in the library.
Oh, heaven! John.
No, just a minute. Oh, please, I'll bring him in. Come in, Miss Prentice.
Oh, Father, thank heaven you're safe.
John, what happened?
I know how you feel, Mr. Prentice, but you'd better tell him.
Yes, Dwight, I will. You see, my dears, I just couldn't bear the thought of my wife and daughter suffering poverty. The only thing I had left was that insurance policy, and it would have lapsed in another day. I had to think fast.
John, you don't
If I'd commit suicide while the policy was in effect, you'd get $100,000. But I wanted to spare you the disgrace of a suicide, so I decided to kill myself and make it appear as though I'd been murdered. Then, as I developed the plan, I got an inspiration. Why not hang the murder on Reeves, the man who had deliberately ruined me? That would be my revenge. Well, now you know the whole story. Now you understand the nightmares.
But the telephone call...
Oh, I hired the man to make the calls and steal Reeves' car and drive me to the bridge and then jimmy the motor, as though it had stalled. All so that my murder could be traced directly to Reeves, who really had a motive to kill me.
What motive?
Well, my secretary knew all about it. When I discovered it was Reeves who was back of my failure, I threatened to divulge something I knew about him. He flew into a rage. The secretary heard him, and that was just what I wanted. But I knew I couldn't raise the money quickly enough, and my insurance policy was up tomorrow at noon. Well, that's the story. And it's all a miserable mess.
Yes, John, it's all a very, very sad situation. Oh, but wait a minute. What about that telegram the boy delivered earlier? Where does that fit in? Was that part of your plan, John?
Telegram? What telegram? Let me see it, Dwight. Why, it's from the State Mutual. They've granted the loan I requested.
Yes, John, they've granted the loan. Now you can straighten things out. Now you can get back on your feet again. But think, John, what a sad tale this would have been if you'd followed through with your plan and Dwight hadn't caught you on the bridge at midnight.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tonight's Whistler story was written by Herbert Connor, directed by J. Donald Wilson, and came to you from Columbia Square in Hollywood. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.